Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the big episode of The Last of Pods that you've all been waiting for. I am Brandon Davis.
I'm Ash Carlson, and we are here to talk about, I think, the most brutal episode of the season thus far. And,
yes. Oh, wow. My gosh. Episode 8 of The Last of Us is the scariest episode so far, and that's not even because of bloaters or clickers or infected. It's because of awful humanity, and we'll talk about that. But we're not going to spend too much time dissecting the episode as we usually do, because this is the biggest episode of The Last of Pods ever.
Because
we have Bella Ramsey on the show!
Bella Ramsey is on the show! This has been in the works since before we even started the podcast. We knew that Bella was interested. We did not know which episode. We were trying to lock it in. We didn't want to say anything to you guys just in case it fell through for some reason, but it is officially happening today, tonight. Bella Ramsey is
here. Oh, this is basically why we started the podcast. Let's be honest. We were like, we got to talk to Bella. We got to make this happen. And here we are.
And what a brutal episode to talk to Bella about.
My goodness. All right. Well, let's talk about the episode for a little bit here before we bring Bella into the show. I thought this episode was powerful. It was crazy. And on the heels of last week, which we agreed was my least favorite episode of season one.
It's my least favorite out of all great episodes. Like,
oh, well, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean it was a bad episode. It just means it was my least favorite. Like, out of a selection of 8 episodes so far that are all very good, episode 7 is the least of the very good. Like, that's still that's not an insult. It's just, that's, I don't know. It was the sidestep in the momentum that took me out of it and told a really slow story that did not progress the story forward at a point where we're late in the season. I want the story to move forward. If this had been like an extra episode as the DLC was later, you know, we talked about that last week. If you want to hear more about it, go listen to episode 7 of The Last of Pods. We didn't poo all over the episode. We just didn't say it was the best for sure. And then this episode really writes that ship. The momentum right out of the gate is rolling, and if you've played the game, you're like, wow, we're rolling through this. It's happening. She's meeting the cannibals, these terrible people. And I thought Bella was great in this episode. I'm not just saying that because she's on this show today. She face planted in the snow, and that looked legit. Troy Baker told us how cold it is out there, so I think Bella did a great job. She had to carry this episode because Pedro was barely in it, and I thought she did a great job.
Yeah, in the game, this is where you play as Ellie. Joel is down bad. She needs antibiotics for him. But also, yeah, she comes across these two guys, David and James, I think his name is. And James is played by Troy Baker, who's the original Joel in The Last of Us. But in the, I mean, even in the game and in the show, it's like, I think in the show, it's a little more obvious that these, because they're a little culty and they kind of reveal that at the beginning. Whereas in the game, it is such like a surprise to me. Like, I actually was like, oh, we actually come across some good people for once. I didn't really see the twist of them being crazy, evil, scary cannibals coming.
Yeah. Well, once you walk through the doors and you're let into like a crazy cult like that, I feel like nothing is off the table, not even human meat, literally. So, I mean, yes, it was surprising. It was gross. But it was just like, as soon as they open the show with that, and then you see inside of the, like, this does, the game, this is another thing the show does again that, like, it's been doing all year. It deepens the story of these characters you meet that become adversaries and end up becoming just a chapter in the game. And they're just a chapter in the show, but they get a bit more depth. And so you saw this guy wanted to be a leader. He really demanded, like, adoration and no questions from these people, which is, to me, just insane. That's why I'm not in a cult, I guess. But yeah.
It was giving Far Cry 5 for sure.
Woo, my goodness. But he was so creepy. And then I mean, and a lot of this was straight out of the game. Like when Ellie first meets them, she's holding a bow and arrow in the game. When she first meets those two characters in the show, she's holding a rifle, but she points at it. She's like, stop right there, but put the gun down, buddy boy too. And she even calls Troy's character buddy boy in the show. There's a lot of stuff in this that is word for word, beat for beat, you know, pulled from the game, and they just keep doing that. And it's I love that. I really appreciate that I say this, when I first watched the show, I binged all nine. And I was like, you know, I liked it. And I really, you know, I really like the game a lot more. But I think the show's very good. It's very impressive. It's just, you know, I like. And as I've taken my time now and had the chance to watch each episode slowly and appreciate it and analyze it, the show has really won me more than it. Like, it never didn't win me. Like, I never thought it was bad. I just think if you don't talk in hyperbole on the internet, people think you hate it. And I thought it was really good. Just not, I saw all the praise and I was like, man, I wish I felt that kind of praise. And the more I've watched it, the more I've kind of, my appreciation of every episode has gone up.
Yeah. I think one of the differences, and it's a criticism that you have talked about the whole time, is that there are not enough infected or clickers. And in the game, there's this whole sequence where her and David fight a bunch of infected. They kind of like essentially bond because they're like fighting off these infected together. And then they sit down and have this conversation where she's like, wow, like you really know how to shoot, blah, blah, blah. And everything happens for a reason. Even me coming across you, because you killed your little dad, killed a bunch of my friends. And
yep. And it's such a creepy moment too. It's such a jarring moment when you're like,
the shift of just like, yeah.
And because as a gamer, I trusted this guy. We killed clickers together, bro.
Yeah.
What the heck? We Call of Duty zombies in here and boarded up the windows and tried to keep the zombies out. And then all of a sudden the other guy, James, walks in with a gun and you don't see it until David is like, yeah, man, the crazy guy and the little girl. And then he's like, put the gun down, James. And then the camera pans over and you got the James from the game who was played by Troy in the show. And Troy was right. Troy said people were going to hate him.
Yeah. I didn't hate him as much as David, but I hated him a lot. And yeah, this guy, I mean, I think it's even worse in the show. Like, he is so aggressive and scary with her. And at the end, like, when she reunites with Joel, it just like broke me when he grabs her from behind and she thinks it's another person coming after her. Maybe that David is somehow not dead, even though she just hacked him to death with a freaking machete. And just that moment where, like, you know, Pedro says baby girl, just like he did in the game. It just collapsed me.
Yeah. After the big fiery fight, and that fiery fight was creepy in the game too, 'cause you gotta like hide and crouch around
and really hard to get through.
Yeah.
Like, hard as in, like, I died a million times when I played that.
That's the whole game. Oh, my God, I swear. That's, like, I die on easy mode in this game.
Yeah, that part is really hard.
Really hard. But, yeah, so then they're reunited, and Ellie is possibly really broken. Like, she's been through a lot, but I feel like this is one of the most trying, awful things she's experienced. And yeah. I hate that for her, because to this point, Ellie has been so, like, almost annoyingly optimistic. Like, it's,
yeah, because,
like,
I mean, the Riley thing obviously traumatized her. I think it was like a really big trauma for her, but it also set like everything in motion. It was kind of her purpose, because it was like, okay, like, I'm gonna live for something. If I'm gonna live, if I'm gonna have the survivor's guilt, I have this purpose now. Whereas, like, this was just all bad.
Yeah, but she made it through and she's back with Joel, and hopefully, I mean, it's The Last of Us. What could go wrong? Obviously, the good things to come.
People who don't play the game and watch a show, like, will text me after and be like, what the hell is with this show? Because every week it ends on such a downer. It's like, yep, just wait.
Yeah, my mom texted me. She was like, these Sam and Henry kids better not die, especially Sam. And then 40 minutes later, what the hell? And then she says, is Joel dead? She calls me up. I'm like, well, she's like, does Joel die in the game? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, is he going to survive? And I was like, I don't know. You got to keep watching. And I kind of messed with my mom. I was like, well, I'll just say this. This is the part of the game where you start to play as Ellie. And she was like, no.
I know. My friend, I like would not tell her whether or not Joel lived or died, because I was like, it's just, I don't know, just like messing with people. But go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, mine was totally unrelated. It was just another story about my mom.
Okay, tell it.
I've only ever spoiled one thing for my mom, and it was a Walking Dead thing in the episode where Tyrese died. I interviewed him before the episode came out, and I would always talk to my mom about every interview back when she used to be impressed by this stuff. Now she's just like, oh, he got another one. But so like, she would call me up. She's a huge Walking Dead fan. And she was like, well, how was the interview with the Tyrese guy, Chad L. Coleman? And I said, well, he couldn't really say much because he dies. And she was like, he dies? I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I've never spoiled anything for her since then. That was like year one at comicbook.com. Sorry, AMC. I know I wasn't supposed to do that, but I haven't done it since with anything.
Atta guy. Well, I want to keep digging into episode 8, but I think we should do it with the lead of the freaking show. What do you think?
I absolutely think I wasted too much time talking about spoiling things for my mom, and now it's time to talk to Bella Ramsey. So in 1 minute, we'll be right back, everybody, on The Last of Pods. This is your chance to thumbs up the video, subscribe to the comicbook.com YouTube channel, leave us a 5-star review, share us with your friends. We'll be right back with Ellie herself, Bella Ramsey. Welcome back to The Last of Pods, everybody. BD here with Ash Crossan, and we are talking about Last of Us Episode 8. This is the moment we have been waiting for longer than we've literally been admitting to you all. We've known this is happening for a minute. We are so excited, Ash. How you feeling?
I'm feeling so good because, well, you can literally see here, Bella Ramsey is with us right now.
Yes, Bella, Ellie herself. Bella, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, of course. Thank you for having me. And my cat is joining. You can't see him because it's quite dark, but he's going to be a part of this because he is incredibly old, incredibly needy.
Pets are welcome. Pets are welcome on The Last of Pods. I'm loving the show. I've been a fan of The Last of Us game for a decade now. I would love to just start there. I mean, for you, what have these last few weeks been like? Is it bigger than you expected? What is it this experience been like becoming Ellie and now the world gets to see it?
I mean, yeah, it's been a little crazy. It's definitely bigger than I expected. I don't know. Like, I knew signing onto it that it was going to be a big deal. But I don't think I really like registered it that much. But yeah, it's been cool. I've just been doing, everything's sort of the same. I've just been doing like more interviews and traveling a bit more. Like, I got back from Paris yesterday. It was kind of bougie. But yeah, just like little bits and bobs.
You look so good in Paris, I have to say.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're wearing like Dior, I think. It looks so good.
Yeah.
Before Last of Us, a lot of us knew you from Game of Thrones, obviously, and as Lyanna Mormont. So I want to ask, I don't know if anybody's asked you this. I haven't seen it anywhere. What do you think, how would Lyanna and Ellie get along if they were ever in the same world?
I think that's a great question, first of all. I think that they would, initially, I just feel like Ellie would annoy Lyanna. With like, I don't think Lyanna would take very well to Ellie's sense of humor and Ellie's puns and stuff. But I think once they got past that, I feel like they'd find level ground and they'd like go and kill zombies, whether they be White Walkers or clickers together. I think they'd be besties.
They'd be besties. Now, let's dive into episode 8. I think this is the most unsettling episode of the show. It is a rough watch. And it's also coming off the heels of last week, which was like the DLC, which was such a beautiful backstory until it wasn't, rough ending. But what did you learn about Ellie from that backstory, from that DLC, and seeing her relationship with Riley? I just love there's this moment where Riley gets out the $5 bill and Ellie's like, kind of says like, oh, have you done this with anybody else before, essentially? And I was like, that is me. That was me as a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, that's really funny that you say that. Yeah, I mean, I think that episode was really just about like what it was like for Ellie before, like, she, I mean, that experience at the end, like, it's the first time she's experienced loss at the end of that episode. And then, like, obviously that continues and continues and continues, like, once she begins this journey. But yeah, this took place, I think they say, like, 3 weeks before Ellie first meets Joel. So I think it's just really cool to have that backstory and like to see what Ellie was like before all of this and before she knew she was immune and like just existing and having a crush on her best friend and like how that plays out. I just think it's cool and it ties in really well to her relationship with Joel and like the point that they're at.
I love it. HBO Max tweeted the best friend stare with like you guys looking at each other, and I was like, okay, best friends.
Friends. History will say they're roommates.
Yeah, history will say they're roommates.
I that episode last week on our show, we were talking about, you know, we all have our imagination of what happened after the Riley and Ellie story ended in the show and in the game. They ended at the same point. They have the choices, and then it doesn't really tell us what happens next. What do you think, as some, you know, the person who is embodying Ellie? You are Ellie. What do you think happened? Do you think about that?
Yeah, I did think about that quite a lot. Because it also was going to inform like how Ellie is going forwards. I don't know, like depending on the level of trauma, like it's going to be different. But there was conversations that happened around that actually. And I think we sort of agreed on, I don't know what to say, because it's like, I think it's up to people's imaginations really. But from our point of view, I think Ellie probably had to make a really hard decision and do something she really didn't want to do and experience great loss. And like that links back to that scene in episode 4 possibly, I lose track of the episodes, where she's like, it wasn't my first time.
Oh yeah,
seeing somebody. And yeah, it's like, could that first time have been Riley? Possibly.
That's what I was thinking. And then the whole survivor's guilt of her probably just going through this whole thing of being like, why am I not turning? What is going on? Like, I just, and even like being kept in the dark with it makes it so much more tough.
Yeah. And that's why I don't want to, like, I don't know if we ever did like explicitly agree. And I think it's more powerful that it's kept like unspoken and kept to people's imaginations, because I think the imagination can often be like darker than reality. Yeah. Now we're getting deep. Jeez, sorry.
Now you guys, you and Joel are traveling across the country, and every episode you're in a completely different setting, and this one is the winter set. What was this set like compared to the other ones? Was it freezing? What was it like?
It was pretty cold. This was in episode 8 we did the coldest day. It was -17 in February in Alberta, Canada. I mean, it was pretty rough. I mean, I loved it though, but it's also like, I think there's a clip of it in the trailer when I'm holding the gun, like at David and Buddy Boy. And that gun, that was like the real gun, because they didn't have the foam double. So I was just holding this like real, really freaking heavy gun in like -17 and freezing my ass off, and it got to the point where I couldn't, like, the words didn't come out properly. Like, I sound weird in those scenes because it was so cold and my like vocal box froze.
Oh. We were talking to Troy and he was like, I was freezing, but then there's always the crew guy in shorts.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Like, Albertans are a different breed.
That scene was like one of those scenes that was straight from the game. You and you too, Buddy Boy. I love that you called him Buddy Boy. You called Troy Buddy Boy.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the part of the game where it's the first time we play as Ellie because Joel got impaled. So that, like, so this week and last week, you're kind of like, you're in this show without Pedro. Like, this is Ellie kind of on your own. How was it? Did it change? Does the set change? Does the experience, the expectation, the day change when there is no Joel around? How does that change the energy for you?
It completely changes it. Like, suddenly my whole last of experience has been so tied to Pedro. So to like then find like how to, like, I don't know, how to function on set without him was weird. I had withdrawal symptoms from being around him all the time, his stupid jokes and him playing Xanadu on his phone endlessly. So it was it was a weird change, and I missed him. I really, really, really missed him, which I think actually worked like for the episode. And it was just, it made me also appreciate him even more when he was back. I'm like, oh yeah, I've missed you.
I talked to him last night at the Mandalorian premiere, and I was like, is there anything you want me to say? And he was like, just warn her about you, like about me.
Oh yeah.
Tell her Godspeed. I was like, okay. But also on set, Pedro wasn't there, but the original Joel Miller, Troy Baker was. I'm curious what that experience was like for you. Were you, because I know you were kind of encouraged to stay away from the game. Were you encouraged to not pick Troy's brain about Joelisms or Ellieisms at all?
I mean, that wasn't really anything that was talked about. It was, I think me and Troy had this immediate respect for each other because I had seen bits of the game and he was obviously coming onto the show, and it was a really special experience meeting him for the first time and being like, it's like that Spider-Man meme when it's like, yeah, it felt like that. But I don't really know how much we talked about the like, I think he was basically like encouraging me that I was Ellie, you know, and I was like equally as and in awe of his Joel, and I think we just like bonded over that a little bit. We didn't talk about it a lot. We didn't pick each other's brains. We just sort of like took it as a new thing.
He was singing your praises when we interviewed him.
Oh, bless him.
To the point where I think we actually have a little gift for you. Brandon, do you want to tee this up?
We have a little message from Troy who wants to share his thoughts on how things went down in this episode.
I'm terrified.
Caught me in the neck, dude. In the neck. And that scene was a lot longer. So my next question is to Craig. We'll talk about
He did tell us about how messy it got and how many times they had to reset the blood bag and all that stuff. But so how many times did you have to kill the original Joel Miller on set?
Quite a lot of times. I just remember him walking around with this, like, axe in his neck all day. And also me being so like desensitized to like all of this and just being like, oh, Troy has an axe in his neck. Like, it didn't... It's a problem of like growing up in this industry. You really become desensitized to things like that. That was a long day. It just kept going and going and going and going. And I think Troy was even there. Like, they had to do a little insert shot, I think, of him after. Yeah, I killed original Joel quite a few times. But he was going to murder me and like eat me. So I think it's fine.
I think it was justified. And actually, I mean, the reunion, you touched on this about like how kind of, you know, how you actually missing Pedro kind of works for this episode. And so by the end of the episode, we have that reunion. And by that point, now Ellie's just terrified because she's just gone through the most horrific experience that we've seen in this show so far. And it wasn't even infected. It was worse. It was people. And to this point, like, Ellie has been almost relentlessly optimistic, despite the terrible things that have happened. And I think that's a big reason why we all love Ellie so much and your work as Ellie. Like, you do such a good job embodying this character who is just trying to love and be loved and be a light in this dark world. Do you think that, like, how does this kind of change Ellie? And if at all, now that, because that reunion, maybe Joel expected more of an embrace and it comes, but it's this horrific moment. And what do you think this kind of, like, what happens now?
Oh, that's a big question. I mean, it's definitely a shift. Like, she's experienced traumas before, but like, this is like nothing that she's ever experienced. And I don't think she ever anticipated, like, of all the things that could have gone wrong in this world, like all the time she could have died up until now, like, she did not anticipate this. I think she is also scared not only of like what happened with David and what he was going to do to her, but she's also, I think, maybe more afraid of what she did to him and that violence that lives within her. I don't think that she's, we see her, like, she punched Bethany in the face in the last episode, and like, we've seen her be violent, but not like this. Like, this is and I think that scares her, like, what she's capable of.
I remember in the first episode, the look on your face when Joel kills the Fedra soldier, it's like such a shock. So, I mean, how different do you think, like, I mean, it's been, I don't know the exact amount of time off the top of my head, but it's been a while you guys have been on the road. And from that moment till now, so much has happened. I mean, how different of a character do you think Ellie is from that moment where that facial expression was just like, couldn't look away in shock over Joel killing the Fedra soldiers to now, I mean, having to bring out these survival instincts that become quite violent for, as a means to keep going.
Shetty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that look was one of shock, but also of like, it was, she liked it and she like, she liked seeing someone be so violent for her. And then
I knew it. Oh, I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to be wrong, but I thought that's what was happening.
That's what's happening. You called it. She was like, yeah, it's like seeing someone be so violent for her. It's like, she secretly loves it. I mean, I don't even think it's a secret. And so then this, it's like the full circle of now she's basically doing, she's like replicating that, essentially replicating Joel's actions. Like, she killed David probably within like the first two hacks of the axe to his face, and she just kept going and kept going and kept going, and it felt good. In the same way that like when Joel was beating that guy to death, it was like he didn't have to do that. It's a lot.
What was that like, just for like the technical aspect of filming that on set? That had to be such a draining day of just hacking someone with a machete over and over and over.
Well, the actual hacking part was right at the very end of the day, and it was, we were pushed for time. That was one of the longest days that I did on set. All the lead up to that moment took the longest amount of time, and then the actual hacking part was right at the end. Literally, like, had to leg it back to unit base to get blood splatters like painted on my face, and then sprint back to just do it within the last like 20 minutes of the day. I think we did 2, maybe 3 takes of that, squished into the end, and yeah, it was a lot. But I think I had all the energy from the rest of the day, just like that adrenaline high. You know, when you're so tired that you suddenly have like so much energy. I feel like that's what happened. And I was like, the actual thing that I was hitting was like a tray of, it was like spongy. It was like a sponge filled with blood, and yeah, it was interesting for sure.
Sounds wow. Fun.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Overall,
sounds fun.
That sounds fun. What has been your favorite reactions to the show so far?
I have a couple. I like, oh man, this is a hard question. There's been, you know how, also I had an oath with Craig Mazin that I wasn't going to look at comments, and I feel like I've slightly dramatically broken that oath the last couple of weeks. I've liked people's, I sort of, I'm aware, I'm very aware that I have like, there's like a gay army who are like, who are on Twitter, who are just like supporting me and Ellie, and it's like they're so much louder than any people who still hate it or hate the show, like the homophobic trolls, whatever. And it's just like, that feels nice to just have like that army behind me. That's been a reaction that I've really enjoyed. And also just people being like, I love gamers' reactions to the show. Like, that's the thing that feels most validating, is when like gamers, beloved gamers who are so invested in the game, to then say like, this is so good, and like lives up to all my expectations and exceeds them. Like, that's the thing, that's the reaction that feels like really, really cool.
Have you seen, it's like the meme, it's Joel and Ellie in the game, and Joel's wearing a shirt that says, I love my lesbian daughter.
Oh yeah,
that's my favorite.
Oh, and actually, you know, to answer your question better, like, it's all the memes that have come out of it, all the meme reactions that people are doing. Like, there was one the other day that I loved, after the episode 7, where it's like Ellie, game Ellie, has her hands in her head and she's like, I'm so gay, what the fuck. And I just love them. I love people like rehashing game, the game memes, for, to like react to the show.
If you search your name, it's like, because like I think a lot of people harp on like the Pedro, the daddy, the fan cams. You have so many fan cams. I feel like that's like, you know, you made it when you have a fan cam at it.
Someone who that I know who's like used to be really obsessed with Tumblr, and like apparently they like check Tumblr for me. They're like, oh, you're trending on Tumblr again, which is fun. Like I've never been on Tumblr, so it's I have like different people who are invested in different things, like keeping me updated on like the Tumblr fans. It's kind of hysterical.
Okay, but so if you were going on Twitter or anything to be a fan of something else, what is it that you geek out about the most?
I would have geeked out about if I had Tumblr when I was like watching Merlin for the first time. I would have et it up. Like Merlin was my show. I loved it. That and then more recently, Feel Good. Merlin and Feel Good, I would be on Tumblr for hours looking at that.
No, okay, we got. I want to talk. That's not to take away from the fun of being a fan, but I do. I do have to ask you about this episode, this show specifically. You talk about the reactions to it. Each reaction, each episode seems to really punch us in the gut. Whether it's Nick Offerman and the romantic tragedy ending, or Henry and Sam, or this episode 8. Each one has a different emotional punch, to the point that my mom will text me and be like, I hate that I love this show. It hurts me so much. But so has any of the episodes stood out to you as like memorably challenging emotionally to get through? What has been the toughest one for you to like look at and be like, wow, Ellie's got to go through this. I have to perform this.
Episode 8 for sure.
Like, this one.
No question. Yeah. This one. It's just the most intense. Like it's Ellie surviving without Joel and surviving for Joel and enduring so much pain for him. And it was cold. Like it was emotionally and physically, this was like the toughest episode for sure. But I loved it. Like I had a great time. I remember reading the script, and I actually have videos of me reading the script for the first time, because I was so, this is sort of a funny story. I was really concerned that my American accent wasn't American anymore, because I'd like got so used to it. So it's like, I'm going to record myself reading this episode out loud so that I can listen back and see if I sound American. And then it just turned into me like live reacting to them. The crazy shit that I was reading, and I have them somewhere. I don't think I can ever watch them back, but I remember the first time I realized reading the script that like these guys were cannibals. I was like, what? It was pretty difficult.
I want to see those.
Yeah. Well, if you don't want to watch them, we will.
Maybe one day.
I mentioned I talked to Pedro last night, and he was like, I was like, oh, is there anything you want me to ask? And he was like, I talk to her constantly. I'm curious what that friendship means to you, and what's the last thing you guys chatted about?
Oh, the last thing we chatted about was the fact that he came to London and didn't see me. I know.
I would be so mad.
Yeah. You should go buy some golf clubs.
Oh, don't you know?
Bella, if it makes you feel better, he left his premiere outfit for The Mandalorian in London and then had to change his outfit. So that's karma.
Wow. That is, yeah, that is karma.
You guys are all wrapped up on season 1 and season 2 renewal. We're all so excited to hear about. Are you like, how do you get ready to go back to work and do this again? How are you feeling about that?
I'm really excited. It still feels surreal to me that it's going to go again. But also I'm going into it with I don't want to go into it comparing it to the experience of the first season. Cause I'm like that's never going to, like season 1 of The Last of Us was like the best year of my life, and it's not going to be the same. So I just have to like go into it being like, this is season 2 and I loved season 1, but this is just going to be different. I'm really excited. I just, I want to be back in Canada, like with Craig, Mason, and Pedro for a little bit. It's going to be really nice. I'm really excited.
We're all so terrifiedly excited for season 2, and we haven't even finished season 1 yet, but it's great. Bella, thank you so much for hanging with us on Last of Pods.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
So awesome. Right. Yay. Thank you.
We'll be right back in just a moment, everybody. We're going to talk about spoilers from the game and what you can expect in the season finale of The Last of Us. We'll see you in just a moment. Woo, that was the best interview we've ever had on The Last of Pods. And I say that after every interview. They're all equally the best, but that was the best.
That was amazing. Also, I did not know that the Riley to Joel timeline was only 3 weeks.
I didn't know that. And I also find it interesting that I was wondering if she was going to say anything, and I kind of appreciate that she didn't, that it seems they did have conversations about what happened after the Riley Ellie moment. But I think Bella recognizes that if she says anything, that's going to become gospel on the internet. That's going to be the canon that we all tell. And it's just, I appreciate that she left it up to her imagination, because we just talked last week about how it's so powerful when you don't really know yet. You just know it's bad.
Yeah.
So this is the part of the show, everybody, where we talk spoilers for next week's episode based on the game. So if you don't want to know what happens in the game, what could be happening in the season one finale of The Last of Us, this is your stepping off point. If you stick with this show till the end, there's a little extra treat for you, a little bit of a little extra interview bit coming up later in the episode at the very end. We will sign off and then we will play a little clip for you guys. So stay tuned for that. But you got to get through some spoilers first. So we are at the end of the game pretty much now.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about the ending of the game so many times that there's almost like nothing much more to say. But like I assume we are going straight to the hospital after this, and it's going to be a bloodbath. And
they're going to kill it. John Wick's dog.
Yeah.
Joel Wick. We should have asked Bella to FaceTime Pedro just now. We should be like, hey, you guys talk all the time. Can you get him to say hi?
Pedro's so sick of me right now.
You two have been hanging out a little too much. All right. Pedro time.
I see him more than I see you at this point.
I didn't even get to interview him at the Mandalorian junket. I did have a good time, but I saw you guys' interview and you daddied a little too close to the sun. Now, guess what? That's your new phrase.
No, I'm retired from daddy. It's done. It's jumped the shark. It's done. We buried it to sea. There's no more daddying with Pedro. He's now father.
All right. So back to The Last of Us. So basically the only other thing really that we haven't seen yet is the running little Easter egg in season one.
The giraffe.
Yeah.
The giraffe.
The giraffes. There's this beautiful scene in the game where Ellie and Joel are kind of getting to Salt Lake City, and this herd of giraffes goes by, and it's just this beautiful moment right after this horrific sequence. And it just kind of shows you there's still some beauty in this world, and Ellie can still be enamored with something, which is important to me.
May I tease something for next week?
Who?
May I?
Please.
Guys, you are going to want to tune into next week too, because we did ask Bella about the finale, and we do have some things that she may share with us next week as well. So
I love that we did that. We did. Yes, 100%. That's a great tease. Just basically listen to The Last of Pods every week, always. Also, I know we've teased a bonus episode, but for now, no longer in the plans. We have one more episode of The Last of Pods next week, and it's the season one finale of The Last of Us. So if we are able to put together a bonus episode, we absolutely will. Right now, kind of putting those plans on hold. So
yes,
one more episode of The Last of Us. They're headed to the hospital. Don't mess with Joel's girl. It will be bad for you if you do, if they follow the game. That's all I got to say for this week's episode, Ash. This was incredible. I'm so glad we got to talk to Bella. This was amazing.
Same. Yeah, I got nothing else.
All right,
y'all.
Well,
we do have one other thing, actually.
That's right. We do have one other thing. You want to tee this up?
Sure. So we talked to Troy Baker a few weeks ago. I think it was like last month. But we talked to him specifically about this episode and some insight into filming it. And so we're going to leave you with that. And we'll see you next week.
That was a long day. That was my longest day on set. And I went through, I think, probably eight sets of wardrobe. Because there is a blood bag that is attached to a hose that somebody has on an air compressor, so that when I'm sitting there and it hits, it's, you know, quenched, it's blood and blood and just blood and blood and blood and blood and blood. And then I hit against the wall, I slide down into my own blood, and then I sit there in my own blood. That gets very cool. All I could think about was that line in Interview with a Vampire. Goes, the blood, it gets cold so quickly, doesn't it? I was like, it really does. My blood gets really cold. And then it just soaks. And then they're like, okay. And it was like, do we need to, we're only shooting up from here. So you want, are you fine with staying in the same pants? I'm like, yeah, I'm staying in the same pants. And it's just like, I looked like something truly awful had happened to me. But that doesn't include, like, there's a prosthetic so that the cleaver, like, goes in and it was magnetically attached so that it stays in there. So there's this huge prosthetic that they attached that allowed for the blood to go through so that we're not just doing, you know, fake blood. It's like, it's practical. And we walked that through so many times. And that's actually Bella that's swinging that towards my neck.
Bella better not miss.
She's... Thankfully, Bella did not miss, thankfully, because otherwise that would have gone into my head. The hardest thing that actually happened is that room was built out and everything that is there, but we're on a soundstage. But I went back and I hit this metal shelf so hard. I don't think it's the take that they use, but everyone, I saw everyone basically went, ooh, we may need to get a new actor. Oh no. How did it look? We got it?